Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are learning together Mizmor Samach Gimel, the 63rd Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. And when we look at this, we need to consider it from the overview perspective. In terms of structure, it is consisting of 12 psukim and divided into three parts. The first pasuk is its kotevet. This is the introduction, the superscription, Mizmor le David b'yosai b'midbar Yehuda. This is a psalm of David when he was in the desert or the wilderness of Yehuda. The three sections themselves follow. Beis to Vav, 2 to 6, is where he desires closeness with Hashem. In Psukim Zion to Tes, 7 to 9, it talks about the trust that comes with that closeness, that Devekus to Hashem. Psukim Yud to Yud Aleph, 10 to 11, are about the curse of those who are evildoers. And finally, the last pasuk is the conclusion, which seems to be a bracha to the king and a curse on evildoers again. The central theme seems to be that the Mesharer, the narrator, has fled known society and is living in the wilderness now, as seems to be apparent from the first line, and he's stuck without resources, whether it be physical water that he's lacking or spiritual water. But the main concern is not necessarily his physical predicament or security predicament, but rather his closeness to the Almighty. He talks about his desire for closeness with Hashem in many terms of endearments, also with the language of a lover searching out their beloved. He mentions the enemies who are trying to capture him. And when trying to put these two pieces together, how do the enemies and his closeness to Hashem relate to this? Why is he cursing the Rasha'im, the evildoers at the end of the Mizmor? The Dadrik Mikra Rav Amos Chacham points out a very beautiful, beautiful idea. And that is that the degree that he feels vulnerable to his enemies is the degree he feels distant from the Almighty. When he feels close to Hashem, then he feels he's protected. When he feels that he's being attacked, it's because he feels he is distant from Hashem. It's a very powerful idea. In fact, this actually reminds us of a very fascinating passage in the Mora Nevuchim, in the Rambam's Guide to the Perplexed, in the third volume in 51 in Nun Aleph, where the Rambam describes different degrees. He uses what is called as the palace analogy, where he talks about different people who have the opportunity of seeing the king. And in it, he talks about people who've not even seen the city, those who've seen the city and come to the walls of the outside of the castle, and those who see through the gate. And he describes different levels of being able to see and acknowledge the king. And we're talking about over here a person whose realization of being far out from the city, from seeing the king, is what makes him feel vulnerable, what makes him feel at the mercy of his enemies. In terms of the actual events which occur behind this Mizmor, the Kotevet, the superscription, the introduction, makes it pretty clear. Mizmor David b'yosai b'midbar Yehuda. This is when David sang this when he was in the wilderness of Yehuda. Well, when exactly was he in the wilderness of Yehuda? So the most basic assumption would be, is this is when Shaul HaMelech is in fact pursuing him. This occurred when David HaMelech first falls out of favor of Shaul, and he is running. He sends his parents to Moab for security, as he was advised by Gad HaNavi to still remain in the land of Israel at this point in time. He stays in an area called Cheres, a forest called Cheres in Yehuda. This is in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chav Beis. And he feels distant from Hashem and distant from his family and distant from all those who support him. According to this, it could be that the Melech referred to in the last verse, in fact, refers to Shaul himself. We'll come back to this. That is, Melech Yismach Velokim Yisalel Kol Anish Maboy. And the reason this could be referring to the king is because at this point in time, David is not HaMelech. He is simply, although he may be an anointed already, Shaul is really the standing king. He is the sitting king, actually. It could actually refer to David himself, perhaps recognizing his station in society, even though he hasn't officially been seated as a king. The Ibn Ezra points out that part of the experience that David HaMelech is experiencing over here is because David no longer had access to Kiryas Yarim, the area where the Aron was being stored. He could no longer access the proximity to being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the spiritual power of the Aron and closeness to Hashem, which is what David HaMelech is bemoaning, which gives us another reason to connect the enemies of David and his closeness to God. His enemies, in this case Shaul, is preventing him from accessing closeness to Hashem. He's not able to get close to where the remnants of the Mishkan are. However, it is worth noting that there's another option as to when this is actually occurring, when this Mizmor arrives. Because you see, David HaMelech also had to flee to the wilderness of Yehuda another time in his life. That was not when Shaul was pursuing him, but when his own son Avshalom was pursuing him. And it could actually be reflected in one of the psukim in this Mizmor, where he says, Kain b'kodesh chazisicho lirois uzucho chavodecho. He really, really wants to see the glory of Hashem. He wants to come to the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This reflects actually a command that David HaMelech gave to Tzadok HaKohen when David HaMelech was fleeing the city of Yerushalayim. He tells Tzadok to go back into the city to take the ark of the covenant, to take the Aaron and return it to the city. And he says in Shmuel Bey's Perek Tezvov, Parasuk Chav Hey, when he is now commanding Tzadok, he says, Vayomer HaMelech leTzadok, Hosheves Aaron HaLekim Ha'ir, Im Emtzo Chein Beinei Hashem, Vashiveni, Vihirani, Oisoi, Ve'esnovehu. Hashem perhaps would allow me back and allow me to see back to that Aaron, to see the Ark of the Covenant. Which means to say, this is David HaMelech's aspiration to come back, even though he has to abandon Yerushalayim and flee to the wilderness. Another third dimension as to when this Mizmor could have taken place is the Midrash says that, in fact, this refers to the national state of Israel as it goes into Golos, and therefore when it talks about Eretz Tzia, a dry land, a land without water, it refers to the exile of the Jews, where the Jews have gone from country to country, struggling to subsist spiritually as well as physically. And of course, we could expand this to every single person, as Rav Moshe Chacham always is wont to point out. The Midrash says that the Tehillim is about every person at every time, not specific events necessarily. And therefore, this can be enlarged to encompass every human being who feels without water, without sustenance, without spiritual guidance. The person who swears in the name of the king, but feels that other people are betraying that king, maybe perhaps referring to Hashem in that case. That's the last pasuk. In terms of places in the Tefillah, this does not really appear in our Tefillah. However, one or two psukim are in words in the spotlight. The word that seems to appear a number of times in this Mizmor is the word Cain, as opposed to the last Mizmor where it is the word Ach. In this case, it's Cain, meaning Cain b'chodesh chazisicha, Cain avarechecha b'chayai. David HaMelech is sort of announcing what he aspires to do. It is worthwhile noting that the word Cain, Chof Nun, is the gematria 2050, which is 70, which in fact is the lifespan of David HaMelech, which fits beautifully into Pasuk Hey, where he says, Kain avarechecha b'chayai. Yes, so truthfully I will praise Hashem, I'll bless Hashem in my life, and that is, his life is Kain, in fact, for those 70 years. One last Pasuk to focus on, and that is the last Pasuk, which has been referenced a couple of times already in this podcast, and that is where he says, as he closes, Vamelech Yismach Elokim, the king will be made happy by Hashem. Yishalel kol anishba boy, praise all there will be all those who swear in his name. Ki yisacher pi devrei shaker, and Hashem will block up the mouths of those who swear falsely in him. It's worthwhile noting that Rav Hirsch, in his explanation of Tehillim, explains that if the king we're referring to over here is Shaul HaMelech, who in fact is his pursuer as he runs out to the desert, it should be noted that David HaMelech is not seeking the downfall of Shaul. In fact, HaMelech Yismach Belokim, he wants Shaul HaMelech to ultimately find goodness in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Almighty, and perhaps it is those, or Dovrei Shaker, those who perhaps are his ill-informed or mal-informed advisors, who in fact warp Shaul's perspective about David, those are the ones that David HaMelech asks Yisacher pi. This again, David HaMelech does not take this personally, as opposed to today's society, where everybody is looking for someone to blame about something at any time, and if anything goes wrong, we try to find an entity to blame. David HaMelech has every right to blame Shaul, who is persecuting him relentlessly, but yet David HaMelech does not seek his downfall. He seeks the downfall of those who misinform Shaul, and he wishes and he begs that his father-in-law, Shaul HaMelech, should be Yismach Berokim, should find joy in Hashem through his melancholy. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.